don't get them girls loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose. You don't get money.
Mr. Worldwide.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at unitedwaycleveland.org. Bringing on now from the hotline, joining us, we're bringing him in, the one and only Gerard Cherry. Gerard, it is Steeler week. It seems like a Steeler team that is a little bit vulnerable despite the fact that they're 4-2. We actually just had Ron Cook on from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he thinks that it is certainly very reasonable to believe that the Steelers will come to Cleveland and leave with a loss on Sunday. To make that happen, though, what must the Browns do?
Well, first and foremost, you have to stop Ben Roethlisberger. It starts there. And when you watch him play, extension that goes to Antonio Brown. Because past week, these two guys made some connections.
Ball.
And once the ball is in Antonio Brown's hand, talking about run after the catch, he may be the best in the NFL right now from a wide receiver standpoint of a guy that can really make it happen once the ball is in his hand.
I worry about him. The speed just really bothers me. Even though I look at this Brown secondary and we saw what Joe Hayden did, the vision of this guy being able to make even that one breakout big play with Ben extending plays is a concern, Gerard.
And it's a real concern because the numbers he's putting up, they said Ben would throw a 5- to 10-yard pass. Next you know, 60 yards later, Antonio Brown's in the end zone celebrating, and his game is just at that level right now. So, yes, we do have a top-flight cornerback in Joe Hayden who can shut down the best of them. But now it's the issue of not coverage, more so of tackling when you face Antonio Brown. Because I believe Joe Hayden can stick with anyone. He'll have to step up his tackling regimen this weekend.
Jericho Cotchery is the guy who has been getting it done in the red zone for Big Ben. He's actually scored in 3 straight games, and he's got 7 touchdowns on the season. All of them have come in the red zone. What is it about Jericho Cotchery? Because this is a guy who in 2012, no touchdowns. 2011, 2 touchdowns, both with Pittsburgh. Never been over 5 touchdowns in a season. You'd have to go back to 2008 for him to even get to that mark. What's been the difference with Jericho Cotchery, and what can the Browns do to stop him in the red zone where he's become so effective?
You know what it is with Jericho, and this goes back to his days with the Jets. And I don't know
right, if
you guys remember that phenomenal run he had when you thought he was down. He braces himself, gets back up, and runs another 30, 40, 50 yards and scores a touchdown. But he's just a solid human being, Nathan and Vic. And you like guys like that. You root against him this week because he's playing against the home team, the Browns. The same token, he's a professional. He's a hard worker, and things are starting to turn around for him because, as a professional, he weathered the storm. And sometimes you go through these funks where you transfer from one team and you're trying to get your bearings and a sense of where you fit in and what's your role. It looks like he's become Ben's red zone go-to guy, and I think for Jericho, because he's just a consummate pro, you appreciate that from him because he's the type of guy who gives you his all on a daily basis, and it's starting to show up on the football field for him.
Gerard Cherry joining us as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Gerard, you know, we had Ron Cook on. He's a columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And one of the things he broke down was, I mean, he generally gave a sense of feeling that it wouldn't shock him, number one, if the Steelers lost this game. And I think he pointed to a couple of areas, not the least of which is, you know, the shakiness of their running game or the absence of their running game. And if they try to do some things like, say, go no huddle for as they did against the Lions, it was very effective in that game. But it could also be a thing that backfires on a team that generally, philosophically, when you talk about Todd Haley, that isn't really what they do.
No, it's not what they do. And what's the saying? House divided falls, and that's pretty much been the issue for Pittsburgh. On one hand, you have a quarterback that wants to stay in the fast tempo, no huddle, and then you have an offensive coordinator who wants to slow things down and get back to playing what you regard and consider Pittsburgh Steeler football, which is ground and pound you and set up play action pass type of scenarios. And that house divided has caused some losses. Now, when Big Ben is on, he's on, and you can't stop him. That house has a solid foundation when he's playing at his best on his A-game level. At the same time, when I watch Bell, yes, he is not putting up prolific numbers, and last week was not a great effort, but one thing you do have to pay attention to with him is that he's capable of picking up a nice run here and there, and he runs physically, and he's capable out of backfield. He can make passes there, and those have become pretty much extensions of a handoff, just passing it to him as well. So they can control the ball with him by giving him short dump-off passes. At the same time, I think Haley wants to get back to that hard-nosed, ground you down, run into the ground, control the ball with you type of approach. But, yes, they do have the option with Big Ben of going no huddle and hurry up and being effective there too. And really it's kind of interesting. It's very similar to what the Browns have done in that you'll see, especially last week, some semblances of success with Chris Obanaya running the football, but then we got away from it. You saw that early on with the Detroit Lions game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in which Bell had a couple of successful runs, picked up a first down here and there, and next thing you know, you don't see the run anymore. It's all primarily pass.
And you talk about this ground game, and I think it could become even more important on Sunday given the weather report. Talking about in the 20s, could be snow flurries, winds around 20 miles an hour or more. Talk about the impact that has on players when you have that type of temperature situation and the impact it could have on the passing games as well.
But generally when it's that cold, you don't want to hit nobody because it just hurts you. Like, hey, all right, I'll tap you right here. So the new rules might come into effect really big time this weekend. At the same time, guys, I'd rather have snow as opposed to rain because your traction and your footing is better with the snow, and it's easier to catch a ball with it being snow-like conditions as opposed to it straight out raining. So it's not as bad as it may sound. And the weird thing is you're not as cold when it is snowing as opposed to getting wet from the rain.
Gerard, the other thing I look at this game is, you know, where are we going to see the production from the Browns receivers? And for a defense that has some of the issues that the Steeler defense seems to have, especially when it comes to dealing with the run, if in fact the Browns can get some modicum of success going there, I think I've said that before going into a game, but modicum of success, can you envision this being an opportunity, especially with the way the Steeler team has struggled to cover tight ends, that a Jordan Cameron can come back to close to or fully to the form he was earlier in the season?
You know what, Vic, I would like to see the offense play call and say, you know what, for the first two series, you know, we're just going to run, and just establish something, stick with it no matter what is at stake. Now, if you're down 14-0, that kind of throws it out as far as the game plan concerned. But I just like to see them actually commit to it, especially when you're going against a 26th-ranked run defense in the NFL. Why not give it a shot and try? Because ultimately, if Jason Campbell still has issues with his ribs and he's not going to run around and be effective picking up the run, picking up first downs, running the football, why not give it a try just to commit it to it, just to see what if it will stick? Because I think that's been the issue, that as soon as we get behind, we panic and we get out of that mode of running the football and relying more on the throwing, and that has not been a recipe for success for us.
And especially with the weather concerns, this might be a game where the Browns really do need to run the football more effectively than they have at any point this season. We saw more of Chris Obanaya, and I know you really broke down the 22 coaches tape on that game. Do you think that's going to be something we're going to continue to see and something you want to see, more Chris Obanaya in the backfield for the Browns?
Yeah, I do think you have to get Chris Obanaya the football more. Now, the thing is, he's going to have to hold on to the football and take advantage of these opportunities, but there was that run he had was an excellent run, and it was blocking was decent, but it was about him making the right cut and seeing the right thing and going into a hole that really wasn't even supposed to be there. Because on that long run, when I looked at it, I got the impression that, hey, he chose open hole because the initial place where he was supposed to run was closed and clogged up, and he went somewhere else. Sign of a good running back, using your vision. All running backs should have it, and he has the speed and the strength to go along with it. So why not give Chris Obanaya a chance to see if you can feature him? Because even you think about a couple years ago, I was saying to myself, I wasn't high on Hardesty. I was more high on Obanaya, saying this guy's getting it done. And we went away from him. It's like we don't trust him because he's Chris Obanaya and he's not doesn't have a name behind it. But maybe we should give this guy a chance just to see if he can at least get us to a place where it's 50 to 75 yards of rushing or more than three yards per carry.
Are we, in saying all this about Obanaya and wanting to see more involvement there, more involvement mm-hmm. from Fozzie Whitaker, are we saying that we've pretty much seen the last of or done with Willis McGahee, or is there some chance that he could come back to life?
There's always that chance because you never want to look down on a guy like Willis McGahee because he's the ultimate overcomer. At the same time, he's getting his opportunities, and I want to see him succeed, but it's not getting done. It's not occurring. It's not happening. He's not gelling, and he's really having the same issues that we saw with Trent Richardson here, where it just seems like when he has the ball, no one's blocking. Or he just can't find the right hole at fast enough time. So I don't know what it is or why that scenario plays itself out on a routine basis, but the proof is in what we see.
Yeah.
And I think part of the problem is, too, when he's in now, you're looking at the number of snaps he plays versus the carries he gets. Typically, if he is in, they do give him the football, number one and number two. You know, he's probably going to run it between the tackles. It's not too hard to figure out where he's going to go with the football once he does get it.
And that's the key part, Nathan. You hit it right on the head right there, because if you're one-dimensional in the sense of you're not an outside threat and you're primarily in between the tackles, if you're a defensive player, give me some credit, right? I'm going to assume that I'm not going to have to worry about you stretching the field. And if you do, I'm fast enough to get there to stop you. So why not concentrate on you being in the interior of the line and just attacking there and being ultra aggressive? And that's the key, guys. And that's why you have to have a running game, because as a defender, you want to be off balance. You want to be in a situation where you don't know where the guys are coming or going, where they're passing or running. But when you know a guy's in there, he's going to run, and where he's going to go more than likely, and that this team has to pass, you're in a situation where I can dictate to you as a defender what you shouldn't want to do. And that's what we saw last week. The Cincinnati Bengals dictated to the Browns defensively what they could and could not do, and we suffered for it.
He is Jerod Cherry, and you're going to hear him at the top of the hour with Bruce Hooley on Hooley and Jerod, their regular show that follows this one. Thank you, Jerod.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you tomorrow. All right, Jerod Cherry, that is his segment. And is there a quick tweetage we could hit here, Dean Talley, to wrap this thing up?
Yeah, one or two here quick. Again, tweet the show at Browns_daily. From Stephen La Matrice, guys, I live in enemy territory. They have to win Sunday. If not, I have to listen to their phony fans all week.
Phony fans.
Phony fans. Not real fans. Phony fans. Phony.
Phony ones.
Tell you, they've a lot of empty seats there when the Steelers aren't doing well. Of course, there's a lot of receipts here, too. But anyway, I mean, that was the whole thing. You know, when they were riding Super – I covered so many games in Heinz Field when I was with NFL.com, and that place was always rocking. But they were, you know, on their way to something. How quick they forget.
Well, and you also get spoiled, you know.
Yeah, you do.
Spoiled
from
success.
There's no question. That happens a lot, unfortunately.
And, guys, let me leave you with this.
Yeah.
From the tweeter is The Man. Nothing but The Man. And his tweet, the greatest man ever, is his address. Browns Daily sounds like an adult diaper brand name.
Wow. It's Browns Daily.
Yes.
That hurts.
I'm not even
for
really
you know. You know what? A for effort, but you know what? On that, with that thought in mind.
So he didn't mean that as a compliment, I'm guessing.
No, I guess not. So you get the flush of the night. Thank you, The Man.
Thank you, Dino, for
you.
Sharing that and ruining everybody's
That's
afternoon.
That's right. Yes.
All right. Again, Julian Jerod is next. We want to thank Jameer Howerton and Willis McGahee for being aboard with us. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon on the roundtable, which, of course, is delivered to you, served to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Want to thank our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. Want to thank outstanding Megan Rock for tweeting during the show, putting together the Browns Daily Wrap that you will read about on ClevelandBrowns.com a little later today. For Nathan Zagura, I'm Vic Carucci, and I say you've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford. Call your shots tomorrow. It's Steeler Week. We want to hear from all of you. And here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
Call your shot Friday.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.